sometimes controversial, always politically incorrect, and pro-life without exception, without compromise, and without apology. It's the Pro-Life America Podcast with your hosts, Sarah Waits, and the president of Life Dynamics, Mark Crutcher.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. I'm Mark Crutcher, as you heard, and lurking across the table, as she always is my co-host, Sarah Waits.
Hello, everyone.
And joining us again this week, everybody put on your seatbelts, is my daughter, Sheila.
Hello. Sarah says, not again, man.
Right.
She's going to quit being a special guest and just, you know, be here all the time.
She'll lose her specialness. Well, we thought it would be appropriate considering the topic is a continuation from last week. We thought we'd bring her back again.
Since she was lurking around last week.
Yeah, since she was here last week.
Yeah, basically the only thing that's going on right now in the whole pro-life movement, it seems, is whatever's happening around this Texas SB 8.
People are either cheering, complaining,
right,
or strategizing against it.
Lots of things are happening as it relates to this. And to say that the pro-aborts are melting down would be a grotesque understatement.
And a lot of this that's coming out right now that we're going to be talking about on the show just happened yesterday. Like, this is breaking news for today. So I guess the biggest thing that's come out is the Department of Justice filed an emergency order late last night asking for a temporary halt of the new law. And they said in the filing that SBA prevents women from exercising their constitutional rights, that it violates the 14th Amendment. And they're also claiming that this will create an overburdening of out-of-state clinics and creating backlogs for residents of other states, despite the fact that abortion clinics are closing down across the country.
Well, they also say that not only that it violates the 14th Amendment, but that it also violates the Supremacy Clause, saying that the federal government overrules the state government.
This argument over the constitutionality of legalized abortion and the 14th Amendment has been something that's gone on since the Supreme Court legalized abortion on demand.
I mean, this, first of all, there is no constitutional right to abortion.
Exactly.
But the Department of Justice saying that this violates the 14th Amendment and the Supremacy Clause, this puts the Constitution at a crossroads. If we allow the Department of Justice to continue on with this emergency order and just throw away this SB 8 law that Texas has issued, then there go states' rights as well.
Well, because of y'all's ages, I don't think you can fully appreciate the crossroads that we're in right now as a nation. But for people that are, you know, like me, old, worn out, half dead, one foot in the grave, one foot in the banana peel, that sort of thing, we are living in times that we could have never in a million years predicted in the past. Let's make sure people understand something. Everybody says, well, you're just an extremist or you're an alarmist or whatever. We are now at the stage of our nation. Theoretically, it is entirely possible. Let's say that you had a piece of legislation that was approved by 100% of the residents of a state. I mean, this would never happen, obviously. You never get everybody.
There'll always be that one person who votes against it.
But let's just say you had one. You had a 100% approval of this by the voters. It went to their state legislature, and they passed it 100%. And then the governor of the state signed it into law. You could have an unelected federal judge who'd never been in that state invalidate that law.
Or
that's where we are as a nation.
Or go even further, the person who sits as the president say, oh, I don't like this. I'm going to just keep on signing executive orders that voids that law.
And which executive orders were never meant to be doing in the first place.
Or you could have him say, hey, we're going to the Department of Justice to file an emergency order like this one, and we're just going to throw everything out the window. I mean, the Department of Justice, in issuing the so-called restraining order, they said that it's necessary to protect the constitutional rights of women in Texas and the sovereign interest of the United States and ensuring that its states respect the terms of the national compact. I mean, a lot of people think that the Civil War was fought over slavery, but it was started over states' rights.
Well,
and I mean, could another civil war happen?
All this goes back to the Constitution. There is no constitutional right to abortion. Mm-mm. The Constitution talks about protecting life. There's no taking of life without due process. Yeah. There is no constitutional basis for killing Mm-mm. the unborn child. No, there's nothing in there. You can make all these rationalizations about when life begins, but if this child has a heartbeat, it is a living human being.
Even before a heartbeat.
I know, yeah. But even still, even if you refuse to acknowledge the biological realities of what an unborn child is, you have a heartbeat there to confirm it.
But it's interesting that what I call the godless left in America, which is what that's our enemy now. That's the enemy of America. They constantly talk about, we need to follow the science, especially as it relates to COVID and mm-hmm. wearing masks and getting injections and all this other stuff. We need to follow the science. These are the biggest science deniers on the planet.
Yeah.
However, when it comes to the unborn child, the science is life begins at the moment of fertilization. Mm-hmm. Basically, you have to say that's the place at which life begins because that's the only place it can begin.
Yeah.
And they will actually say, you can actually find quotes from some of these people that say, well, the abortion issue is not about science. It's about rights. And it's about protecting women, the right to women to control their own bodies. Of course, the unborn child that happens to be female, they don't care if she gets to control her body or not. And her body's disposable.
Our country has a bad history of ignoring the science of humanity.
Right.
And using, well, it's not really a human because ... It doesn't fill our qualifications and ignoring science, all in order to create this hierarchy of rights and say an X group over here is not entitled to them. That was done with African Americans and slavery and their rights, and it's being done to the unborn.
Well, and they just like to ignore the truth. I mean, the media is saying that this SB 8 law mm-hmm. will hurt black women. The Daily Beast even goes as far to say that Texas abortion snitches will target black women most. And this is a quote from them. Texas lawmakers have formally invited people to self-deputize and surveil and criminalize the most vulnerable, which is what white people already do to black folks. And this new law is providing justification, and those racist attacks will only get worse.
Yeah, and this article compares SB 8 and the heartbeat bill, which is designed mm-hmm. to protect life, mm-hmm. compares it to the Fugitive Slave Acts, mm-hmm. which gave people the authority to detain black people and claim that they were slaves and get compensation or a reward for it. You know, all these media outlets like to poise this new law as if people are going to start hiding in their neighbor's bushes and following them and seeing if they're going to an abortion clinic and right. suing every single person that they happen to see.
The target of this is not mm-hmm. your neighbors. The target mm-hmm. of it is the abortion mills.
Yes. Right.
Mm-hmm. And those that help aid in the abortions. And they say that this will hurt black women the most. What hurts black women is abortion.
Yeah.
We have proved in our documentary, My Alpha 21, that the leading force behind the legalization of abortion in America was black genocide.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Abortion was made for eugenics to eliminate what they called the undesirables. So don't be listening to the media telling you that this is hurting black women. No, it's supposed
legalized to, abortion has hurt black women.
Exactly. This is supposed mm-hmm. to help the babies and prevent, you know, black women too from being targeted.
Well, you know, we have this big argument going around the country about voter suppression. There is no bigger tool of voter suppression in the history of the United States than legalized abortion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It has totally disenfranchised black people by the millions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their political power today would be exponentially greater than it is had abortion never been legalized. Mm-hmm. And then not only abortion legalized, but their communities targeted, which we again mm-hmm. proved mm-hmm. in our MAFA 21 video.
Yeah, you know, we talk about the rates of abortion. Even though technically white people have the most abortions, if you look proportionally amongst demographics, African Americans have the highest abortion rate. In fact, in one of these articles that was talking about, this is aimed at African Americans and this is going to do irreparable harm, even mentioned in this article that a study published in the American Journal of Public Health, black women have the highest abortion rate at 27.1 per 1,000 women. That's above Hispanics and white women.
In that same deal, it pointed out, a black baby is approximately 5 times as likely to be aborted mm-hmm. as a white baby.
And then going to our racial targeting report, if you look at the demographics of the zip codes that have abortion clinics, it's clear why. they predominantly place abortion clinics in overwhelmingly minority communities. Right. In our summary of the report, we identified 116 zip codes with more than one abortion clinic or population control facility. Of those, 84 were disproportionately Black or Hispanic. What this means is that when the American family planning industry places multiple facilities in a zip code, that zip code is more than 2.5 times as likely to be disproportionately minority as not. We also found over and over again, you look at the places that have abortion clinics, sometimes it exceeds 200% of the state's overall percentage mm-hmm. of minorities.
Well, what the media, what the left does, just like with voter suppression, with reparations, with abortion, with anything, they promise minority and the Black community stuff. They use them and then they throw them away all to just get rid of them.
Right.
They say that they love Black people. They want equal justice. No, they hate Black people. Just look at abortion. Watch my Alpha 21 to see the truth, not what the left and the media is trying
well,
to
Well, you could say at the very least, they just absolutely don't care. It may not necessarily be hate. They just absolutely don't care.
Well, that's a form of hatred. Yeah. Well, if you don't care what happens to a population of people, then you hate them.
Well, no, they actively hate them because they're trying to get rid of them.
Yep. And it was interesting that in MAAFA, we talk about this. It was civil rights groups, mm-hmm. what were generally considered pretty radical civil rights groups, the Black Panthers and Nation mm-hmm. of Islam and others like that, back in the 60s, who first recognized this. Mm-hmm. They were overtly making statements about... Basically, it's white liberals coming mm-hmm. in trying to legalize abortion in order to get rid of the Black community. They recognized it. Mm-hmm. Jesse Jackson even recognized mm-hmm. it mm-hmm. and spoke out about it until the time came mm-hmm. that he wanted to be president of the United States. Mm-hmm. And the Democrat Party was totally owned by that point mm-hmm. by these birth control, family planning, mm-hmm. abortion, population mm-hmm. control people.
Yeah.
And so he had to change his position. Mm-hmm. But he was calling for a total constitutional ban mm-hmm. on abortion, and he was making the point. He said something, I don't remember exactly what the quote is, I'm paraphrasing it, but he said something like, it's very interesting mm-hmm. that at the minute when we stood up and started demanding our civil rights, they started calling for the legalization of abortion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's very strange that mm-hmm. those two things happened at the same time.
And the sniffling coward sold out his own people for political gain.
Right.
Well, and it wasn't that long ago when BuzzFeed released an article where Planned Parenthood employees, former and current, were talking about racism within the abortion industry. And mm-hmm. in that article, here's a few quotes here. Planned Parenthood advertises that it exists as a safe space to protect and support women, especially women of color. But from my experiences, I can confidently say that it does not practice what it preaches. This was from a Planned Parenthood employee in her resignation letter. Renee Bracey Sherman, a former board member of NARAL, anti-Blackness and refusal to address racism is why I quit the board. A current NARAL employee, the fact that NARAL is by and for cis white women is an open secret in the reproductive rights world. And then a woman who used to work at a PR firm that works with reproductive rights organizations said, I do think it's worse in reproductive rights because it's insidious. The movement prides itself on working on issues affecting the most marginalized in society, women, trans, and non-binary folks and people of color. And yet in their own workplaces, they don't value those people.
Well, and what was interesting about all that stuff that came out mm-hmm. and all these employees that were leaving mm-hmm. Planned Parenthood, they were saying that the racism was not even subtle.
No,
it was overt. It was overt racism.
Well, I mean, these people have no scruples at all. For instance, the CEO of Salesforce, a marketing platform company, their office is located in San Francisco, but they have employees across the United States. The CEO told his employees in Texas that because of this SB8 law, that he was willing to move Texas families, the employees and their families, out of Texas and to San Francisco.
That's quite a sale. Aren't people flooding from California right now?
Yeah. Yeah, but he said because of this law.
Let me tell you something. I hope he's successful with this. Because if he succeeds, what he's doing is taking a pro-abortion family mm-hmm. out of Texas and moving them back to where they ought to be, which is in San Francisco.
Have fun trying to dodge the poop in the streets.
Yeah.
Well, and people just stealing whatever they want because of the new laws over there.
I wonder how many people are going to take him up on this.
I hope all of them. Don't let the door hit you in the butt on the way out.
Right.
I bet you you're probably not going to put the number of families on more than two hands.
I tell you what let's do. Let's say, why don't you do this? Mm-hmm. For every family that takes you up on this, you will take a California family of conservative pro-lifers and move them.
Move them to Texas.
Moving them to Texas. Why don't you do that?
And then swap.
We'll both be happy. We'll be rid of the godless liberals.
It's a mutual benefit.
Right.
Except then those people that move to San Francisco will think, this place is crappy. I don't want to live here. What am I doing?
Yeah.
Speaking of bad places to live, last week we talked about how Portland, in response to this Texas deal, was going to release a emergency resolution that would ban the purchase of goods and services from Texas. Mm-hmm. Also, the resolution said would bar city employees from traveling to the state. Don't ask me how that works, but nonetheless.
You can tell somebody that works for the city, you can't go to
Texas. You can't go to Texas.
You want to go visit the Alamo, we won't allow
it. What was this about constitutional rights? Anyway.
Right.
And of course, a city spokesperson said that the city had purchased slightly less than $35 million in goods and services from Texas in the past 5 years. Well, they were supposed to vote on that last week. Well, now, city officials have been scrambling since the initial proposal to nail down how such a boycott would work. Apparently, not very successfully, because yesterday, the city released a draft resolution showing the boycott had been scrapped. Right. In other words, we can't find a way to make this work.
Maybe they were concerned that Texas would put like a $10 a barrel tax on their oil gas that goes from Texas to Oregon.
So they've trashed this resolution, and now they're considering setting aside $200,000 that would go to organizations that, quote, deliver programs and services related to reproductive health care. However, the resolution does not specify if the groups to receive that money would be based in Oregon. So they're defunding the police and taking that money.
Right.
And I guess now they're going to give it to abortion.
Right. And the citizens have to pay the price because their house gets broken in. There's no cop to come.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, they didn't say where the money was coming from.
It says city officials are setting aside $200,000.
So that has to be taxpayer money.
That's money from the taxpayers.
But this might not be money that was going to fund the police, period.
Well, yeah, but money's fungible.
Well, yeah,
I
know.
If you take money out of a pool from someplace, you can put money into a pool from someplace
else. Well, it's like the city of Austin, Texas. They specifically took money away from the police department. They defunded police, and they used that money to fund abortions instead. Yeah,
and we've talked about this before, but for people outside Texas, Texas is a conservative state.
Mm-hmm. By and large, yeah.
Except for Travis County.
And Dallas.
Well, Dallas is getting more and more liberal because more and more people from other states are moving to the Dallas area.
But I don't think it holds a candle to Austin.
Mm-mm. Nothing does. Austin, Texas is as godless and liberal Marxist a city as San Francisco.
As Los Angeles, as Portland.
As any of these other. There's not a city in the United States more liberal than Austin, Texas. And it's a disgrace that the city named after Stephen F. Austin in a county named after William Barrett Travis has devolved into this. But that's the way it is. And that's what's happening. And so when you hear this stuff and you're outside Texas and you hear about things like this, make sure you look and see, okay, is that Travis County? Is that Austin? Is that where that's coming from? Don't judge all of Texas by what you see going on in Austin or in Travis County, because it's not a good representation of the entire city.
But it was so funny that Portland's like, oh, we're not going to buy anything from you. And then it's like, well
and you're going to bring you to your knees. We're Portland, Oregon.
Well, that's like a couple of years ago with the Georgia heartbeat laws and stuff, how Hollywood and a bunch of media companies and stuff said, oh, well, we're going to ban Georgia. We're going to pull out our productions from Georgia, blah, blah, blah. Well, that didn't really happen. They're continuing production in Georgia. And so these boycotts never tend to work out for them very well.
Not very well. Mainly because they always come down on the side of where the money is anyway. And they go to places like Georgia and Texas because the production cost of a video or a TV show is considerably less in those states. They're not going to walk away from that over politics.
There's been a bunch of tech companies who are not opening up in Silicon Valley. Why? Because the cost of living over there is so outrageous, and then the conditions.
Yeah.
So all these people who are talking about, oh, we're going to leave these states, are forgetting the whole reasons why they're there.
Well, these people are just pure hypocrites. I mean, a good example with what just happened in California is over Larry Elder. Mm-hmm. So during his campaign, a woman in a gorilla mask tried pelting him with an egg. If now, that happened to Obama or any other Democrat black politician, the media would be outraged.
But it'd be nightly news.
Yeah, and it would be called a hate crime. They would be calling for this woman's head. Mm-hmm. But because it happened to a conservative Republican black man, they were silent.
They don't care about it.
Well, the LA Times has released an article basically calling Larry Elder a face of what? White supremacy?
He's the black face of white supremacy.
The black face of white supremacy. Right. They would have never released anything like that about Obama.
And wait a minute.
Or Sheila Jackson Lee.
Kamala Harris is from California. Mm-hmm. What if she were out there and somebody threw and it comes up in a gorilla suit and throws an egg at her? Mm-hmm. What would the response have been? It would have been front page story, above the fold for weeks.
Probably protest, rioting, chaos, but nothing over this incident.
No, it's an obscenity. Anyway, Sheila, for you to suggest that the American left is hypocritical, I don't think that rates right up there with Japan surrenders as far as news goes. I think this is pretty well established. It's well trod ground.
Well, I would say some further stuff, but it's not appropriate for
SB8, this abortion thing, has been a good learning lesson for us. I don't know what the future is for this. Nobody can tell me right now with any confidence what the future for this is. But I know one thing. It has shown us, and I hope it's shown the American people, the level of commitment that these godless leftists have to baby killing.
Mm-hmm. And the steps that they're willing to take.
And it should give us a barometer to use for later on down the line when things like this go national or the Supreme Court comes out with a personhood ruling, what we can expect. And I've often said to people that they'll say, well, you know, if they're coming out with a personhood ruling tomorrow, it's over. Well, yeah, it may be technically over legally, but if you think it's just going to end right there.
If they're just going to walk away.
These people are going to say, oh, well.
Oh, well, we tried.
We tried. No, we've got massive battles in front of us. And I'll tell you right now, one of the things you can look for, we've talked about this many times, right inside the border of Mexico and Canada, you're going to see abortion mills spring up like daisies. They're going to be all around that. And that's the reason that they just put this big push. American pro-aborts put a big push to legalize abortion in Mexico. That just happened. And the reason for that is that's their fallback position. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if you want to do some research on this. This would be a neat project for somebody to research. Go look at land in Mexico that's close to Texas border or New Mexico or California. See how much of that land has changed hands, say, in the last 10 years, and see who bought that land.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bet you you can tie it directly to people like George Soros, Ted Turner, all these ultra-left
eugenicist types.
Bill Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates. They've bought this land up because they're going to put abortion mills on it.
Well, and also
in Canada as well.
And it's also the reason for the push for abortion pills. I mean, they're just basically saying, we don't care about this health and safety of women. Let's just throw these abortion pills around, give them to whoever wants them.
Yeah.
Because abortion is in jeopardy. So we're going
to. All that matters is baby killing. That's all that matters to these people is killing as many babies as possible. So anyway, we're going to continue to stay on this story because right now it's dominating everything.
I'm sure more will come out.
And I'm sure more things are going to happen. But anyway, it is interesting that the Portland authorities were not able to bully Texas. I'm sure that the Republicans in the state capitol kind of looked at it and said, oh, please, please, don't throw me in the briar patch. You know
I think it's kind of funny because they're probably thinking, okay, well, we'd have to cut out this. And someone's like, wait a minute, those are those people that create those donuts I like. We can't cut those out.
It's amazing. Anyway, that's all I got. You guys got anything else?
Nope. Just if you like the show, be sure to leave a review. We've got a link in the description for where you can go do that. And also, be sure to go follow the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Podcast Addict, and the list goes on.
And send show suggestions if you want a topic covered.
Say that three times fast.
I know.
Shind them.
I had a hard time saying it just once.
Shind us some show suggestions.
Yeah, send us your social. Now it's got me going. Send us your show suggestions. Yes. We have a place to do that on our website. If you just go to lifedynamics.com/podcast, there's a form right there where you can leave your show suggestions, and we do read them and we respond to them.
And we've done shows before based on those suggestions. So
yep, mm-hmm. Show suggestions.
I'm not going to even try to say it again.
Show. We want to hear from you whenever you can. Until next Thursday, remember, Life Dynamics is not here to put up a good fight.
Mm-mm, we're here to win.
Because why, Sheila?
Winning is how the killing stops and how we stop these pro-aborts.
That's right. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.